Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Alan UK is here, folks. Alan is a new friend. He is he's a small business owner, just like you and me. He founded his company from scratch, from absolutely nothing when he was just a kid. He currently holds 40 patents on the work that he's done in the area of, his business is called... underwater kinetics, I guess. Yeah, that's it. Underwater kinetics. So he's a scuba guy, and he's been very successful in this over the years. He's got some pretty long perspective on how manufacturing has evolved in America and what we need to do to get manufacturing restored to America. He's written a book about it called Buying America Back, and he's our new friend, Alan UK. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you here. Talk to us a little bit about. Tell us a little bit about your background, Alan.
Well, I started my business out of my dorm room. I was 18. I'm 59, so I've had it 41 years. I've actually never worked for anyone. And I don't know if anyone ever hired me, actually. But the thing is, a lot of owners are like that. You know, they business
most of us business owners are not employable, right?
Yeah. And the only thing advice I give to all of you is I love what I do. You know, so I've worked really hard at it all these years. And it's that extra hours you put in beyond the regular time that reading books about marketing or finance, or even my books on banks. You know, so I go buy a lot. My library's got maybe 100 books of it over the years. And it's funny, but the knowledge is cumulative. And over the years, you learn more and more about things, and it starts giving you that edge. You know, and I can recommend everyone keep, you know, broadening their knowledge.
Keep learning.
Yeah.
So,
and,
go ahead.
Anyway, let me tell you what motivated me to buy to write this book is that I sell to 60 countries, and half of my manufacturing goes overseas. We are a big exporter. And I also buy some components from overseas, like I buy some electronic components and all that from China, because a lot of that stuff isn't available here anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come up with kind of an observation that I wrote in this book that really could help the economy. And what that is that if you go to these other countries, they make a real effort to buy their own stuff. And then the government actually gets involved, you know, trying to keep the money in the country. And,
right.
We don't do enough
which is called protectionism.
Well, it's not. It is, but it's also, you know, you could call it the other way where, you know, it's your home team. And, you know, you got to root for your home team.
Yeah.
So they
now,
so
I didn't,
a big
I didn't,
reason.
You know, protectionism,
I'm not using
protectionism. I'm not saying it necessarily as a pejorative. Right. It's just, that's just a practice.
Yeah. And it's part of the culture. And it's
right.
Well, there's a national priority to build their economy by keeping the dollars, you know, in their country.
Right.
And also a certain amount of pride that we make this and this. And like you go to Japan, for example, they do everything they can to buy something made in Japan.
Right.
You know, and a lot of countries are like that. Same thing with Korea and Taiwan,
right.
China. And actually, the funny thing is, like, France is like that. You go to France, and 9 out of the 10 top-selling cars are French, even though they'll admit it's not very good.
Yeah.
And you go to the store, and there'll be little French flags on the food that's made in France. And then even if you go, you know how you go to the market and there's like silverware or something, or
right.
some other kind of pots and pans are kind of basic. Well, even the spoons they sell there are made in France. In this grocery store, you know, I haven't seen American made anything in the section of your store since years. And so they make a real effort. They pay more for it, but they understand it keeps the jobs and their economy. Now, what I thought we'd do is kind of update the country of label, country of origin labels that we have right now, because the whole time that they were made is a different one, where things were made in one country and there wasn't a lot of didn't matter really where it came from. But what's happening now is it's entirely different. You buy a product, it's got components from a lot of places, so just putting one country on there is not sufficient. You need to have a
because of the assembly part and the you know, one component comes from one country, one component comes from another country. It's
right.
It's assembled in another country and packaged in another country.
Right. So what happens is the labeling laws we have right now that makes you put one country on there can be easily gotten around. So basically most countries will try to play games so that has a Made in America thing, even though it's not all Made in America. Many of them be only like part of it's Made in America. This is the last thing done to it. And so, like food, we have all this information now of, you know, how many calories it's got and, you know, what, how much carbohydrates and fat and all that.
Right.
And it's the numbers, okay? And so what I want to do is have the labels change. You have a percentage of content by country. And so it would tell you that 20% of this and 15% of that. And then it would have the trade ratio, because that's becoming important now, because so much money has left the country. And then the nationality of manufacturers, you know, where they're paying taxes and where the management engineering.
So if I bought one of your scuba equipment, a piece of your scuba equipment, it would have how many different countries labeled. If under the label that you're proposing, how many different countries would be on the label?
Well, what I want to do is have like a little inch square label, and it's basically have the top six, you know, and the fifth one is the other. And so what would happen, and most of my stuff actually, it's probably, well, they're 80% or 90% Made in America.
Right.
Because, you know, I have an injection molding facility, a tooling, make our molds here, we send them here, but we do buy, you know, what they say, so it'll be a circuit board or there'll be some other components like that. And, but it'd run in our case anywhere from like three countries to four countries typically.
Okay.
You know,
but 80% American origin?
In ours.
In yours.
But that's not, but the unfair thing about that, let me tell you a little story. The other thing got me going is we used to buy this plastic from Dow Chemical. And
Hold on to that thought, Alan. We have one more segment. I want to talk about this some more in the next segment. But before we go, what is the advantage? Why should people care about this information that you're wanting to put on this little inch square piece of information?
Because what happens is that of the U.S. economy, which is $15 trillion, $10 trillion is consumer spending.
Right.
And so if you shift 1% of your spending, it's $100 billion, which is 1.3 million jobs. And if you shift like 5% of your spending, it's 7 or 8 million jobs. So you can actually fix the employment problem in the United States by just making a small adjustment in your spending. And what has to happen is you need that improved piece of information so you can pick out content that's good for America, or you switch your purchasing from countries like China, which only buys 25% back.
And so should it also but when that happens, we're also probably, as you said a minute ago about the French, is you also need to be prepared to pay a little bit more for that.
Yes, yes. But the money bounces back to you, and so what happens is people have a job and actually eventually...
From a macro standpoint, I see what you're saying. Okay, folks, we're going to delve into this some more after these messages. The book is called Buying America Back by Alan UK, and his name is spelled UKE, pronounced UK. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.